I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And it ends today, the SEC Media Days. It is day four. And everyone was on pins and needles waiting for the star of the program. And we have him with us at the beginning of the show, Coach Jimbo Fisher of Texas A&M. And Coach, thank you very much. And often coaches thank the media. I've always found it to be gratuitous. but I'm going to do something different to begin the program off. I am going to thank a coach. And you don't have to respond, but I just want to thank you on behalf of the audience and everyone in the media for giving all of us probably the best 2 months we've ever had. So thank you.
You're welcome. I do like the media's fun. I mean, as I say, it is not good. I enjoy doing it. It's like everybody says, you hate recruiting. I like recruiting. I like talking to the media. It's all fun.
I was sitting in the audience when you were here, because you can imagine everybody was excited to hear what you had to say. I thought one of the funniest answers I've ever heard, and I've only been covering this since the mid-'80s. Somebody said, Coach, I transcribe all of the coaches' comments, and can you explain why you talk so fast? And I thought your answer was brilliant.
We're trying to get in and out. We're trying to save time. I can get you guys out. You can go do things you got to do. I got things I got to do. We can get in, get out, and you still get the information. You're not shortchanging any information.
Yeah, and I mean, it made perfect sense. And listen, you made a great point, I thought, because you only have a certain amount of time with the players. Why waste it?
Exactly right. I say that. Be able to get your information as a coach, and you got to slow it down and explain it. But to be able to get that much information, you're on such a time slot because of the hours you're into. Man, it does. You don't realize it sometimes how fast you do talk to get information to them.
Listen, we all talk about you, and everyone has talked about everything about you from your salary to what you've accomplished. But it was interesting. You're still a junior member of the coaching fraternity, because on, I think it was Tuesday, Coach Saban was behind us for 30 minutes. There was not a single question about the episode with you. Today, The first four questions to you were about him.
They were all Alabama reporters. Every reporter up there, AL.com, Huntsville, Birmingham. I said, we got invaded.
You said something interesting, and I want to talk about some other things, but you seem to indicate you're good, it's behind you. Yeah. Plenty of raised eyebrows in the audience, but how can you explain that to us?
No, we are. We're good. And where we come from, you say what's on your mind, you do it, you move on, and you're playing ball or whatever you're doing 10 minutes later. And it is part of our culture. I joke about that, but if you were thin-skinned where I grew up, from my father to my grandfather to whoever, they told you, I mean, right was right, wrong was wrong. They told you, and they moved on and didn't worry about it. And that's kind of the way we grew up. He says what he says, I say what I say. But we don't, it is what it is, and you move on. You're competitive, and you do the things. And I think part of that, though, we're in a world right now, we're not sure what to do. And that's what the fear is. It's not, usually coaches, we got to have the answer. Right. Our job is to have the answer, all right? Media's job is to create controversy.
That's true.
And so I joke about that, but what I'm saying is we got to have concrete answers, and right now there are none. And that's what scares human nature is to be scared of what you don't know. And I think that's what's happening with NIL, transfer portal, conference alignment, where you're going, what's going on. And there's never been a time in college football since I've been alive that's had this much change and then this many big time things within football. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from.
I had a coach tell me, I think it was Mark Stoops yesterday, that, I don't know what we're really doing, but we're just simply following whatever the rules are, however they move, that's how we are moving with it.
You have to be, because change is inevitable, and you got to do it. But here's the problem with NIL. Every state is different.
Right.
Some guys can send a written contract, They can have it written out. Other states, like in our state, we can't even bring up, say, Paul, you're an NIL deal. Yes, we can give you. We're not even allowed to have that conversation. Well, all we can say is there's guys on our team have deals. This is what they are. Other than that, you can't. Now, certain people can have written out deals. So, I mean, as a coach and you're recruiting, you're handicapped or you're not handicapped based on what your rules of your state are. And that's where I think the non-unification of what we're doing starts all the problems.
And, I mean, it is confusing. It is complex. And ultimately, none of us know how it's going to end. So how do you deal with it, though, in real time, especially with the bright lights on you?
By what the rules are you have to deal with. That's all you can do. And you do the best. You fight, scratch, and claw to do the best at the rules you're given to be able to recruit and do what you have to do. And, unfortunately, that's the part of – the one part of college football right now that really is – like you say, it's never going to be the same. Like Commissioner Sankey said, you know, it changes here, but it doesn't have to always be like it is. Now, when I think what he's talking about, we can unify this thing, right. But we got to have. But Congress is the only one can do that. Congress has to do it because of the antitrust laws. I mean, having salary caps and all those are all great ideas. I agree. We all brought them up, but then they said, well, the antitrust laws and all those things keep you from that. So there's going to have to be some kind of ruling or laws or whatever it is coming from Congress that said it.
But you know.
That's going to take a while. There's
not a lot of trust for a lot of things in college athletics, but there's less trust for Congress.
Yeah, I mean, and they got so many other things on their plate, but it is something they need to do because they went ready, shoot, aim. You know what I mean? Instead of ready, aim, shoot.
Well, the one thing I did detect from you today was confidence. I mean, I've watched you over the years, and I mean, coaches tend to badmouth. You were not badmouthing your team today.
I like our team. I mean, we have some holes when young guys have to play, but it's got when there's players there and excitement there, and you got to get them coached, and they have to play. But I like where we're at as a program. I really do. I mean, we didn't reach like being 8-4 is not acceptable. Okay. We're not. I mean, we had some injuries. We had all, but still, the year before, we were right there in the playoff picture. Yeah, we were right there ready to win an SEC or be right there at it. And could have, in my opinion, we're one of the top four, but we didn't get it. That's part of it. But last year, we had some injuries, but then we played well, and I was just pleased with how we finished. Okay, that's not acceptable. We know that. That's not our standard of what we're going to do. We're not going to lower our standard. But I like the amount of depth we have on our team, the youthfulness, the experience, the in-between guys coming off injury, which makes them hungry. I think what that does is creates competition because, listen, we are what our habits say we are on a daily basis. And your habits come from what you do each and every day. Right. And if you slip up now, we have enough talent at every position, somebody could lose a job. And that's where your practices, the great teams I've been on, whether I was at FSU or when I was assistant at LSU, those teams were, you had to play every day or someone took your job. And that creates better players, it creates better fundamentals, it creates everything. And that's when you have a chance to really, and I feel we're as good a place as that in our program from this year to going forward that we've been in since I've been there.
And Coach, in spite of all the noise, your recruiting class was epic. I mean, you've mm-hmm. been on some major programs and seen
yes.
that. How would you describe what you were able to get? And I know you've seen most
well,
of them
I,
by
I
now.
I think as much as we cry about social media and the communication between kids today, that's how it came. I mean, other kids want to play with other great players because they know in this sport – you got to win it all, you got to have players across the board. And I think they've seen it from the teams that are winning, that the recruiting classes and how guys – and they got together and we recruit them and they got intermingling and camps, different things, not just with us, but it interfunctions. Because kids today, they know so much about each other before we even get them. And they talk so much. They wanted to play together, and it snowballed together, and those guys all wanted to get together. And then we had – you got to remember, we were coming off success of a 9-1 season. A lot of those guys were at the Alabama game. They were at that run of games. And I'm going to tell you this. You can say it all you want. The atmosphere in Kyle Field is as good as anywhere in college football. I mean, and they're there. They're winning. They want it, and people want to be a part of sometimes doing something, being the first, not just being another one who does it somewhere. You know what I mean? Being the first to do it. And I think that's what they went together and did.
I wonder, in terms of the perception of what happened last year, if people are really focusing in on the wrong thing, because the record is self-evident, but – anyone who was there that night, anyone who watched it, and it was a record television mm-hmm. audience, you can't replicate a night like that anywhere.
And we had the success the year before. Yeah. And you got to remember, our staff has had success. I've won a national championship. There's only five of us that have.
Yeah.
And so success, and we've had success at places, and we're building something. And listen, but when you get to A&M, and I say this, that Aggie Network, the foundation, the people, the education, that is a school that people didn't – I didn't understand it till I went there.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, we're doing $160 million worth of renovations right now. We got a donation yesterday, the largest one in athletics history, $25 million. Before that, it was $15 million. There was another $15
million. Now, this is for facilities, not
players,
right?
Yes, this is facilities.
Right?
This is facilities we're building. We're building new – we're adding different things. They're putting new skyboxes up because the demand is there. Right. It's a place where they want to be the best, and they're putting things in place for us to do that. So, I mean, and those kids see that.
Yeah, and I say this to the audience because, you know, I don't – if you haven't spent time there, you don't – this is hard to understand in just pure language.
It is. And now we're trying to get the culture, and it takes time to do things right. And they're committed to doing it. That's why we just signed another 10-year contract. We're on it, and then we just signed another 10-year contract. And Kirby just got one today. I told all these guys, I get 2%. I was the first one that did it. They owe me 2%.
Really?
It should be. After our first 10-year contract, shouldn't they owe me 2%?
Well, yeah. I mean,
shouldn't he owe me 2% of that? All them 10-year contract guys should have to pay me 2%.
You know, you're talking to poor media guys now. Don't.
Wait a minute now, Paul. Those contracts Paul gets now. They can even sandbag. I guess on the golf course, you play it down too, huh?
I'm a 32.
Yeah.
I just keep forgetting to post
my score. But it's a wonderful time.
But I mean, everybody. I think Kirby's is over $100 million.
Yeah. He's done a great job. I mean, and he deserves it.
But I wonder about that. And I think people misunderstand. Instead of, you know, resenting it, I think that does that not add to the aura of what you guys do, though?
Because it does. And I think what you understand is, to win and lose, it takes time to build things the right way. Yeah. It takes time to do it. I mean, Kirby, I mean, they fought it and fought it and fought it and finally got over that hump. To go win them and do it is time. And when you change consistently, whatever comes out of that? Nothing. I mean, you got to have time to do things, and I think that's one. And I think players, when they're going somewhere, is they're stable, is the coach is going to be there, are they going to be there? Because now the transfer portal, they can just get up and leave.
Yeah. We're talking to Coach Fisher. I mentioned the media earlier, and I realize you do want to move on. But I wonder, though, because, I mean, you were already big. I mean, the national championship puts you on there. Everyone watched what happened with LSU last year, and it wasn't reported other than every day that they wanted you, and you addressed that. But ultimately, I mean, you are now one of the faces of college football. You were successful at Florida State, but you were still fighting Clemson and trying to claw your way through. How does that affect you when you're out and you're recruiting? Because there's a story behind you.
It only helps, and it's big, and then kids can identify with you and do the things you got to do. But you're only as good as yesterday. You have to in this business. That's the thing this business reminds you each and every day. You have to be on top of your game every day. But it's about relationships with the people, with the media, and all the things that go. And, you know, we as football coaches for our universities are the front porch. Yeah. We're that front porch for them that sells it out there. And hopefully we're selling a good message in what we do. Because A&M is and once people come and see it, it's unbelievable. But, we embrace it, and that's part of it. But that's where you want to get to. That's the part of the game. And if you have success, well, you want to be able to do that.
You have this innate energy that you've always had, and I'm not trying to age you, but it seems like I've been covering you a very long time, because that doesn't say much about my age. But I mean, how do you manage your time when there's never been more demands? I mean,
isn't. It's harder right now than it's ever been because of the recruiting and the social media, and you're recruiting three classes at once. I can remember when I first started coaching, you went out in the spring to see who you're recruiting in the fall that were seniors.
Yeah.
Now we're recruiting sophomores, freshmen, juniors, the whole thing. But I've been blessed, Paul, and in saying this, I've never had a job. I really believe that. I mean, I'm one of the few people that are fortunate enough to do what I'd love to do. And I love everything about whether you're coaching. I love the competition. Don't get me wrong. I love to compete. I mean, you keep them score. I just love it. I always have since my dad raised me that way. He never let me win at anything. When I was 2, 3, 4, if you won it, you earned it. You know what I mean? But I love people. I've learned, and in sports, the relationships, watching develop people, and I love boosters. I do love media. I love meeting people and talking to people and interacting, and you learn every time you're around it. But I love everything about this game, and I'm very blessed to have it. So every day I get up, when you think it's work, I remember working on the farm when I was a kid, 18 hours a day, and that was work. And my father was a coal miner and a farmer. There was no harder work. When he got blown up in the coal mines, and he went back in it. I mean, I understand that. No, he didn't get to do everything he loved to do. I'm one of the few blessed people in this world that are doing what they love to do. And if you can't have energy, and every time you touch a kid, that's his future. Understand something. Every time you touch a kid or you're around someone, that's his future. You better, and if that was your kid, how would you want him treated? And you better have the energy or the discipline or whatever it is to do it. And I truly feel blessed to do what I'm doing.
I mean, some people, when they're high energy like you are, you know, they try to modulate or there doesn't seem to be an off button for you.
It doesn't. And then trying to be. And I'm trying to. It just don't work that way. I never played that way. I wasn't as a player, as a competitor, as a coach. I've never been that way. And, you know, the thing you fight for is time for your family, which is the most blessed thing in your life. And they're the ones who really suffer in this business. But at the same time, there's a lot of perks to it, too, and you get to be around them. My kids
and
are blessed.
I will say this. I've seen you, you know, it's well publicized, the battle your son has had. And I do think that's a side of you that probably doesn't get much attention.
Well, I mean, that everybody has things that go on. But, you know, hopefully I want to take this platform and build it not only for him but for everybody else who is affected. You know, doctors are our true heroes in medicine and life and longevity and things that go on. And if we can affect, we can win a lot of games, but then change the world medically and make life better for all those people and all the people who don't have the platform we have. To me, you know, that's what we got to do.
I remember the good old days, Coach, when I would say, how was your summer vacation? But I know not to ask.
Exactly. It's a partial one. You're exactly right.
Well, Coach, thank you. It's always enjoyable, sometimes entertaining, to talk to you.
Well, if it wasn't, it wouldn't be no fun, would it?
No, I said, a couple minutes ago,
we're all in the business, buddy.
We are, and you're keeping a lot of us in business right now.
What else are you going to do in a minute? Those are down months, Paul.
They are.
That's 2 years in a row I've given you that. You know what I'm saying? That's 2 years in a row.
All I say is keep it going, okay, Coach?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coach.
Coach Fisher joins us at the beginning of the program, and we are off and running.
The Paul Feinbaum Show is presented by Regions, official bank of the SEC.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Okay, we got a busy hour. Craig Bolas joining us in just a few minutes, and Ben and Adam Sparks. As we, it's always a little hard to follow Jimbo Fisher, but we got the perfect man to do it. Craig Bolas, who has had a distinguished newspaper career.
That's synonym for old, right, Paul? Let's set the record straight. Old.
I mean, I'm always intrigued by guys like you because I've known you a long time. And what year is this covering the Longhorns?
Well, I've only been at the paper 49 years.
49 years?
So I'm looking for a backup plan if you got any ideas.
That is so amazing.
I'm open.
So that would include Daryl Worrell, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I was there for Daryl's last year. That was my first official year on the beat.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm glad you remember. A lot of people have forgotten Daryl Worrell.
Well, I always admire. I just remember that last game against Frank Broyles.
Oh, yeah.
It was so strange. I mean, these two, they were really good friends.
Oh, excellent. They'd go on vacations and play 36 holes of golf every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's weird about that game, Paul, is that 7 minutes elapsed off the clock, and nobody noticed for a couple of minutes, and then Frank and Daryl met at midfield, and they said, oh, the hell with it. And they were both retired, and that was their last game. So, yeah,
and
two Giants.
You know, I think, I mean, obviously, you know, the stadium's named after him, but he really had, it seemed like a pretty good post. I mean, because, hey, I mean, I guess it was Mac. I mean, I've never heard more people relate a story to Daryl Worrell than any other coach, maybe beside Bryant.
Right. No, and it's, we were talking about that the other day, how he's kind of been forgotten. He never had a losing season in 20 years.
Amazing.
Won 3 national championships and retired at 52.
I didn't realize, I forgot that.
A lot of coaches just getting started. And you look at Saban and Jimbo, and they're going strong, and no point in slowing down.
So let's get your impressions. So we just had Jimbo Fisher up here, and he did a much better job today than he did at Destin, where he really was inarticulate and just in a hurry to get on a plane. How would you analyze what you heard today?
Well, he was a lot more at ease and more relaxed, and that was probably by design. Mm-hmm. I think nerves were still a little raw when they met in Destin, and it seemed like he was committed to, I don't know if making amends, but trying to put a better spin on it, if you will, Paul. I think the real Jimbo, the genuine article that we got in May when he went ballistic was the real way Jimbo feels.
Yeah, and Kirk, we don't need to do it. A seminar here on journalism, because nobody's interested, but nowadays you can say we don't have a problem, we're friends, and that becomes the last thing that's part of the story, and I'm not calling anyone out, but that's what we'll hear from now on. It's over. It's not over.
No, and it never will be. That's part of history now, and it's interesting coming over from the Big 12, where everybody got along famously. You know, nobody was mad or jealous or anything like that. Wink, wink. So, I have a feeling it'll come up a few more times between now and October 8th.
Let me get to Texas, because you've been part of that program covering it, I should say. I don't want to make it
sound like
you were at the Longhorn Network, even though pretty much every one of my bosses were at the Longhorn Network. When are they going to come into the SEC?
I'm guessing 2 years. They got 3 more years that they're wedded to the Big 12 and the longest divorce in history. But, you know, as the Big 12 makes its way to the future, adding 4 teams next year, maybe poaching the Pac-12 for some more, which is, I think, is the way they should go, I got to believe a settlement will come sooner than 3 years.
See them a year early in 24.
Yeah, I could see them, you know, coming in 24. And every time I talk to any coach, player, whatever, it's like, come on, let's get it done. And I think Texas and OU want to as well, but they don't want to pay the ante.
Right.
And which they should. They should just, you know.
Well, this new commissioner, I mean, he opened the door, and obviously he's a businessman, but it's, you know, the bitterness isn't there now that Bowlesby has ridden off into the sunset with his payout. So maybe it would be nice. What is the feeling of the Longhorn fans who are – I think the SEC's in for a shock, by the way. I'll defer to you. You live there, but
– probably both sides are, both parties.
I've always been amused at trying to think of a charitable way to describe Longhorn fans, but I mean they think highly of themselves.
Yeah, put it that way. That's very diplomatic. I got to hand it to you. I think Herb Street called them the cesspool once upon a time, not that long ago.
I did that before they got in the SEC. I'm not allowed to say that anymore.
Well, I don't want to say they're living in the past in Texas. They want to, you know, go back to the past when they were a dominant program, and they haven't been for 12 years since they met Alabama in 2009. You've had 4 losing seasons in 8 years.
That's amazing.
And I think they want to escape Kansas. They want to get rid of that big bully on their schedule. So I think if you ask the fans, Paul, they want to join yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think the media is the same way. And the Big 12 probably wishes they'd leave. They just don't want them to take all the dollars with them.
I'm interested in a year ago when they got in. And I've heard a lot of stories since then about what the options were out there, and you probably know a lot more about this than I do, or anyone would. But what do you think it really came down to for Texas in terms of making that determination and when they made it?
I think they wanted to rub elbows with the big boys. They, in some respects, Paul, they have belonged in the SEC all along as a big state school, huge fan bases, but they always were a little too haughty. They looked down on the academics of most of the SEC, other than Florida and Vanderbilt. And And, you know, Dallas Dodds would always say, we want a level playing field. We want to recruit the same type of player. Right. Well, I mean, A&M and Missouri kind of upgraded the academics there. So, but it's all about money now. It's all about television. And I think a big part of it, Paul, was, you know, selling season tickets when your biggest game every year is played in Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, you don't
That's
have that home and home. And then you have, you know, no offense, but you have Iowa State or Kansas or Kansas State coming in. It's hard to sell tickets. But you look down the street, and A&M's got Georgia and Florida, LSU coming in. You get to be a little jealous. So I think they thought they were doing the heavy lifting in the Big 12, and they probably were from the brand standpoint, even though Texas hadn't been winning. I think they just thought it was time.
It's A&M day here, so let me ask you to describe the dynamics. I was with some people the other night from A&M, and some people you know, and it seemed to me, maybe incorrectly, I discerned this, that, I mean, it's hard for an Aggie to have a conversation without somehow talking about Texas. Am I right?
I don't
right?
think they were rivals anymore.
I know that's what they say, but I heard it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should be in the stadiums when you hear the other team's score announced and they're losing. You know, there may not be a bigger ovation, you know, the entire day. So, you know, Texas looked down on A&M, and A&M, you know, has kind of been regarded as a little brother, and they'd finally gone out on their own. And then that shadow that Texas cast, they had escaped that. So, you know, they were not happy when Texas was joining. Although it was a unanimous vote,
oh,
right?
Now listen, I don't want to be like a Sunday morning political talk show host and push back with you, but I read the statements from the chancellor and the president and Ross Bjork.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're wrong.
They said to have them.
They
huh?
said they were happy to be in the.
What was that arm twisting 101? I think Greg Sankey went to school on. So is there anything but a unanimous vote in the SEC? So it's, and the dynamic is interesting. And you know, A&M was able to play that one SEC card that Texas could not. They said, and "You
they
come
can.
And play for us, you're going to play Alabama." Georgia and Florida and those teams, and Texas, I think, was jealous of that.
And the biggest game of the year is October 8th in Tuscaloosa for the Aggies, and the biggest game of the year for Texas is against Alabama at home.
Exactly. Week two, and already sold out. And you know what's funny? Talking to Saban here, very respectful of Sarkisian.
He likes Sarkisian.
Looks like he had a man crush on him. He really did a fantastic job. And you know, everybody wants to be Nick, and that's one thing about Sarkisian. He's very organized, highly professional, detailed, and, you know, he's doing well in the
And you know this, too. I mean, it's been written about, but Saban was intrigued by Texas 10, 11
years.
I
mean, probably more than intrigued.
I talked to him once when we were flying somewhere, and I know we're running late. And, I mean, he's never acknowledged it publicly, but privately, he was all over it. And until the end, he said what many of others have said before, there were just too many people to report to.
Well, that's exactly right. Two high-profile boosters were really doing the heavy courting, but the AD and the president wanted nothing to do with him and Jimmy Sexton. I think ultimately they felt he'd be bigger than the university, and they really didn't want
that. And let me say in conclusion, that was a smart decision by the president and AD of Texas to finally turn their back on Nick Saban and stick with what they've had since. It's really worked out well.
It's done so well. I mean, you know, 12 years and no double-digit regular season victories, you know, that's, you know, they're
I don't
finding
know, I've
their
lost
way.
Saban's won 4 or 5 titles since.
We
will do this again. He's one of my favorite people in the world, Kirk Bowles, you can tell. From the Austin American Station, I had a producer screaming in my ear, and I really don't care. I wanted to hear from Kirk. Thanks, Kirk.
You're the boss. Thank you, Paul.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Local news of the day, and that's Kirby Smart getting a $10 zillion contract. I mean, it's just enormous, but it's also not really that big of news considering everyone knew it was coming.
Yeah, $10 zillion, that's about what it was. I think that's what we said. It was interesting. We were having the conversation about, Georgia's position and where they are with Kirby and the fact that, he played at that school. He played at Georgia. His wife played at Georgia. How he's not planning to go anywhere. And now we were kind of joking that now he has 100+ million reasons not to go anywhere. Right. But I think that's where it's going with a coach like him. I mean, the bar keeps getting set higher and higher, even with Kelly's contract down in LSU.
Right.
The next coach is probably going to get more, but that's the going rate. And I think that for Georgia to have that stability at head coach, especially coming off of a national championship, is something they're committed to.
I mean, you played many years in the NFL, and when you saw somebody in your position group get a big contract, you liked it, didn't you? Didn't that raise the
depending on who it was.
Oh, okay.
If I didn't think they were that good, I was like calling your agent, like, how come I'm not getting that? Yeah. Like, this dude, I'm better than this guy is. And usually the answer was, well, he's younger than you. That's usually how it goes.
Sure.
I think that from a coaching standpoint, look, everybody wants to get, paid market rate. But even when you talk about players, I think it is good for players when another player gets more, especially if you're up and coming.
Right.
But the great thing is you're able to see what everybody's getting so that you can kind of put your slide in there. So there are definitely probably some coaches and some upcoming coaches that are really happy about the situation, knowing where they're going to be in a few years.
And what people don't realize, same guys negotiating almost all these contracts. Jimbo alluded to it a minute ago, and I would assume he does based on what he said, but they have clauses in their contract that if somebody makes more money than I do, I get 2% or whatever. It's just simply unbelievable that one guy controls the entire market.
He's the most powerful man in college.
And every athletic director goes, yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Sexton.
Exactly.
It's for another day.
If he calls, the AD or he calls whatever school it is, they're going to pick the phone up, and you're right.
Well, and they have to because they know that he knows what everyone else is making, and they also know who is in demand, so he controls the market.
Well, that's where I might push back a little bit because I think, and, I can't give you names specifically because I haven't followed it that closely, but I feel like some of these universities are the most paranoid entities.
Well, that's true.
There's always a fear that my coach is going to leave.
I mean,
the coach could have had a great year. 100%. There's always the fear, what if he leaves? Who's calling him? And who knows how much, Mr. Sexton is.
Well, Ben, you know why that is? Because you have athletic directors who, instead of doing their job, they're reading Twitter. And they're afraid that somebody is going to blame them if, let's say, Shane Beamer leaves South Carolina or this coach leaves that school. And they don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. And if you have a coach that is serviceable, and definitely if you have a coach that is elite, you want to keep that coach. I've said, speaking of the NFL, I've heard actual NFL coaches disparage their own quarterback after giving them tens of millions of dollars. Because if I've got a guy that I can trust, I don't want him going anywhere else. I don't want to have to start over. So there's a fear factor there.
That's a great point.
People do a lot of stuff because of fear.
Exactly. We've been watching it here for 4 days. Before you go, everyone's picking Alabama. But realistically, you're not going to be surprised if Georgia is playing for the SEC title, and especially the national title, are you?
No, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, they are by far and away, in my opinion, the best team in the East.
Yeah.
I think Alabama is should be picked to win the SEC. They should be picked, honestly, to win a national championship. Think about all they have coming back. And last year was a team that, you know, wasn't supposed to be good. Right. You know, Saban talked on and on about the fact they had no experience. Now a lot of those players are coming back. They're an elite in a lot of areas. But Georgia has a lot in the cupboard, too. You know, from the quarterback position to the tight end room to the running back room to the defense, their stars, to the secondary, which, you know, was, in my opinion, you know, probably the weakest part of that defense last year. I think they're a strength this year. So, no, I wouldn't be surprised. It's a gauntlet. You know, there are a lot of other teams that we've talked about ad nauseum all week that have an opportunity, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Great stuff, as always. We'll see you all year. Benjamin Watson joining us from the SEC Network, the former Georgia great and NFL great. We are heading to the break. We got a little bit behind because we started with Jimbo Fisher.
Start with a coach, man. That's what you get.
Yeah, we were happy to be behind, and we'll come right back.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Atlanta, second hour. Wow, we got the commissioner on here, and that will be very interesting. We'll talk to him in just a moment. Let's bring in some conversation about the Volunteers with Adam Sparks of the New Sentinel. Adam, you talked to Josh Heupel today, and while several coaches, namely Nick Saban, talked about NIL in an almost a creepish fashion, what did Heupel tell you?
Well, I mean, I think the difference in a lot of coaches now is one, age. If you do something long enough, you're going to want to keep doing it that way, and I think that's some of what Saban is into. I mean, Josh Heupel's in his 40s. He hadn't been coaching that long. I think he's more adept to change. I think when you look at different programs and how they accept NIL in different ways, it's the teams that are hungry, the programs that are hungry, the programs that have been there before but not in a while. That's why when you look at a lot of wins in NIL, it's Tennessee and Texas and Oregon and Nebraska, these programs that have had a taste and they want to get back. And Tennessee's one of those. Spire Sports is their collective, and they're leading the pack, I think, in the SEC right now, and you can see that in their recruiting. I mean, Tennessee has a top 10 class. Josh Heupel is not known as a recruiter. He's built a staff to sort of build to get that recruiting class, but so much of it has to do with NIL, and that's how you're going to win now. And these programs are going to have to adapt, and Josh Heupel's perfectly fine with doing that.
So you're not hearing Josh Heupel talk about going to Washington. You're hearing him talk about how to use the system as it stands.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's a little leery about where this is going. I think you would agree with me. I don't think there's any senator that's going to come out and throw a bill out there. Everybody keeps, this whole week, everybody keeps on saying, well, somebody do something.
Right.
Well, who's somebody? I think there's enough push.
Well, it also takes the right senator. You can have I think this will happen. You'll have a senator introduce legislation, but that doesn't mean it's going to pass.
Yeah, and I mean, even on this set this week and on the podium back there, I'm a little perplexed by a lot of the comments that coaches have had of that we didn't know it would go to this. That, you know, I mean, I don't want to say coaches are naive, but come on. You know, I mean,
this has been coming along.
If you mix capitalism with college football, you can't be surprised that people are going to find inroads to get money to recruits. And, you know, I mean, your sister network had a 30 for 30 on this, right, at SMU in the 80s. And this is what happens, and this was always going to happen. The phrase we've used for years is the Wild Wild West. And all the Westerns I ever saw, it was lawlessness, and that's what we have now. You have a third of the states right now with no laws and high school kids getting money, and I think that's only going to continue.
Adam, in terms of news, because Coach Heupel was here earlier, well, Tennessee was on the front part. They got in late, so there was a lot of catch-up going on. But what have you learned today from the Tennessee contingency?
Well, my first question to Josh Heupel was about Brew McCoy, USC transfer, wide receiver, had some off-field issues at USC, which led him to leave there as a former five-star receiver. If you look in what Tennessee did well last year, it was throwing the ball, a lot of offense, a top-10 offense in the country, and they've got issues on defense still. So the way that they're going to win and compete and push at all in the SEC East is by throwing the ball and moving the ball and having wide receivers. They lost two of their three wide receivers. Cedric Tillman was here today. He'll be good again, but you have to have some support there besides him. And Brew McCoy is a big physical wide receiver that can play on the outside. If they've got other pieces there, but I think one thing that Josh Heupel did last year is take a lot of pieces that were undervalued elsewhere and make them work. And I don't, you know, he's got to have talent at some point, and Brew McCoy has the talent.
So what does it look like for him?
Well, Brew McCoy is ineligible right now. The thought is he's going to be eligible by the time the season gets here. But going into camp, they said there's still some hurdles they have to cross. He transferred at the beginning of his career, from USC to Texas and back to USC in like 3 months. And that's multiple transfers, and he had not played a game yet, but they're still trying to get that waiver.
Listen. Tennessee will figure it out.
Sure, why not? You know, I mean, if you can get a good wideout on the field, I'm sure they'll figure out some way to push it through the NCAA. NCAA's lost its teeth in a lot of ways anyway.
They've lost everything in many ways. Adam, thank you for being here. We will catch up with you in a couple of weeks as camp begins. Adam Sparks from the New Sentinel, the commissioner. Probably knows a little bit about the topic we just got through talking about as well. And the commissioner of the SEC will be next.